Will you please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? We will read the full chapter. Therefore, having this ministry, as we have had mercy shown us, we faint not. But we have rejected the hidden things of shame, not walking in deceit, nor falsifying the word of God, but my manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every conscience of man before God. But if also our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the thoughts of the unbelieving, so that the radiance of the glad tidings of the glory of the Christ, who is the image of God, should not shine forth for them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, Lord, and ourselves your bondmen for Jesus' sake. Because it is the God who spoke that out of darkness light should shine, who has shown in our hearts for the shining forth of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassingness of the power may be of God and not from us. Every way afflicted, but not straitened, seeing no apparent issue, but our way not entirely shut up, persecuted, but not abandoned, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death on account of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So that death works in us, but life in you. And having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore also we speak, knowing that he who has raised the Lord Jesus shall raise up also with Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace abounding through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound abound to the glory of God. Wherefore, we faint not, but if indeed our outward man is consumed, yet the inward is renewed day by day. For our momentary and light affliction works for us in surpassing measure an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are for a time, but those that are not seen, eternal. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we continue together in thy presence, our hearts are full of gratitude. Who are we that thou should give thyself so totally to us, to deliver us not only out of sin and death, but even to become children of God. Oh, dear Lord, how can we thank you for all that thou hast done for us? Indeed, thy love has constrained us that we cannot live any longer for ourselves. We live for thee and live because of thee. So, Lord, as we study thy word together, do pray that thou wilt, by thy Spirit, open thy word to our hearts and open our understanding and bring us into the reality of what thy word is. We do want to serve thee in a way that will really please thee and satisfy thy heart. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to thee and pray that thou wilt do the work in each and every one of us and bring us into all that thou hast accomplished for us. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, every time we come to the Lord's table, it is to remind us that we are no longer under the old covenant of law, but we are under the new covenant of grace. Because our Lord Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant shed by my blood. In other words, it is an unbroken, everlasting covenant. And this is the relationship we are now with our Lord Jesus. And this is his relationship now with each and every one of us. So I think it is clear, if we are under that kind of relationship, then only if we live the new covenant living, our living will be pleasing to God. If we still live for ourselves and by ourselves, so far as God is concerned, we waste our life. So the Apostle Paul says very clearly, for me to live is Christ. And I believe that this is the way the Lord wants each and every one of us to live. It is only this kind of living is worth to live. And in the same manner, he has called us to serve him. But what kind of service will be acceptable to him? Not every service is acceptable. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus said very clearly, one day people will come to me and say, Lord, we preach in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We perform miracles in your name. What a service they think they have served the Lord. But strangely and truly, the Lord said, I do not know you. I do not approve of you. Because you are not doing my will. You are doing what you like to do. So, brothers and sisters, when we come to this matter of service and ministry, and we all are supposed to serve, then there is only one kind of service, one kind of ministry that is acceptable to God, and it is New Covenant ministry. We have already mentioned last time the difference between the Old Covenant ministry and the New Covenant ministry. The Old Covenant ministry is written with ink. That is to say, it is the result of our own research, our own study, our own mind. It is out of ourselves. But the New Covenant ministry is written with the Spirit of God. We allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives, to transform us, that Christ may be formed in us. And out of Christ comes true ministry. And Old Covenant ministry is written on stones. That is to say, there is no feeling. There is no experience. Everything is just outside. But New Covenant ministry is written on the heart, with feeling, with experience. The Old Covenant ministry is something that we are competent in ourselves. We boast of our ministry. But the New Covenant ministry gives us a sense that we are always incompetent, because our competency is only of God. While the Old Covenant ministry is letter, and the letter kills, the New Covenant ministry is spirit, and the spirit quickens. One condemns us, but the other gave us life. One begins with glory, but fading, but the other is from glory to glory. So, brothers and sisters, thank God. The service that God has called us, the ministry that God has given to each and every one of us, is not of the Old Covenant kind. It is of the New Covenant kind. So this is the ministry that we are all involved in. But if we are true to ourselves, if we are faced with such glorious ministry, that it is not of ourselves, but it is of Christ, I believe that every one of us will feel, how can we fulfill it? It is so high. It is too sacred, too holy, too above our ability. We will faint under it. If I may say, if we think we are competent, that shows that we do not know what New Covenant ministry is. If we really understand what New Covenant ministry is, naturally speaking, we will faint under it. But thank God, we need not faint. Why? Because mercy has shown us. In other words, there is mercy there. There is grace there. There is all that our Lord Jesus has provided for us there. And if we only look up unto Jesus, it's all there. So here we find in chapter 4, having this ministry, as we have had mercy shown us, we faint not. To put it in another way, if there is no mercy showing us, we will all faint under it. Now, if we do not faint, something is very, very wrong. But thank God there is mercy shown us. So therefore, we do not need to faint. He has all the provisions for us. And all we need to do is to allow Him to work it out in us. But that doesn't mean that we can be passive. Sometimes we feel, well, we can do nothing, and He is doing everything. So we do nothing. We just wait passively. That is not the way that God will do. In other words, it is very true that everything is from God. Nothing from ourselves. And yet, He does expect us to prepare us for His grace. So here you will find in verse 2. Verse 2 tells us, before we receive grace, there is a preparation which we must do. And what is that? It says, we have rejected the hidden things of shame. Now, what is the hidden things of shame? Simply put, it is something that we hide in ourselves and will not allow people to know about it because we know that it is something shameful. And if our life, we have such things hidden within us, then you find the grace of God will not be able to come upon us. So first of all, we must reject the hidden things of darkness. If there is something we know wrong in our life, and we have not repented, we have not confessed it before the Lord, and we have not come under the cleansing of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus, do it. And that's rejecting the sinful, hidden things of shame. Not walking in deceit, nor falsifying the word of God. Now, what does that mean? It means that sometimes we try to use the word of God for our own benefit. Or sometimes we twist the word of God to fit our situation. We do not, as the Bible said, divide the word of God in a straight line. That is according to what it is. Not according to what it will suit us. You know, oftentimes, it is the temptation of those, especially who serve the word of God. When the word of God says in such absolute way, we know that we are not so. So we try to twist it, to make it to fit our situation, or to use it to show forth our ability. Now all these are falsifying the word of God. And this is something we have to be honest. When we face with the word of God, what it says, that is what we believe. And that is what we should be. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every conscience of man before God. Brothers and sisters, when we are serving our brothers and sisters, we are commending our conscience before them. Just like the Apostle Paul testified that He maintained a conscience void of offense before God and man. He is clear, transparent before God and man. So everyone who receives his ministry, his service, know that it is true, it is real, it is not something falsifying or pretending. So, brothers and sisters, before we minister, according to New Covenant ministry, these are something that we ourselves has to examine before the Lord. To examine ourselves if we are real, if we are true, if there is nothing hidden, and we are not trying to use the Word of God for our own benefit. It is only for the glory of God. So this is our preparation. But that doesn't mean that our preparation is enough. For strictly speaking, to minister in the New Covenant ministry, only God can prepare us. We cannot do it ourselves. We are open before Him and let Him do what He will be doing with us. So the following we find, how will God prepare us for a New Covenant ministry? The Bible used an illustration. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We all know that we are earthen vessels. Why? Because we are made of dust. So far as body, our body is concerned, that is the element that constitute our body. Earthen vessel is cheap, is common, nothing glorious. It is opaque, dark. That's what we are. But unfortunately, we do not look ourselves as earthen vessels. Instead, we look ourselves as alabaster flask. We think highly of ourselves. That's according to human nature. But if we are touched by the Spirit of God, then we will realize we are not alabaster flask. Mary is able to break that alabaster flask because he realized he is but an earthen vessel. Now, if an alabaster flesh is broken, how do you feel about it? I believe once when Brother Nee was young, in the family a good flesh was broken, and his mother thought it must be that boy. So he was beaten for it. But finally he found out it was not him. And for this he hated his mother. But thank God, Mary understood she was but an earthen vessel. And she was willing to break it that a pound of precious nard may flow upon our Lord Jesus and glorify Him. But you know, that is the strangest thing in the world. You never put a treasure in an earthen vessel, because they are not competent. You put a treasure maybe in a golden box or something. This is the wonder of God. He is the only one who will put treasure in earthen vessels. And we all know what this treasure is. There is only one treasure in the sight of God, His beloved Son. So, dear brothers and sisters, God has done something wonderful, marvelous in our life. We are but earthen vessels, cheap, common, nothing, opaque, dark. But God is willing to put His Son in each and every one of us. Do you know that you carry within you the treasure of God? If you know you carry the treasure of God in you, I think you need to be very careful. You cannot be careless about it. But the problem is that treasure is full of radiance, full of light. But the light, the radiancy, is hidden by the earthen vessel. Thank God we have Christ in us. He is light, full of radiancy. But we are earthen vessels. We, in a sense, prevent His radiancy to shine forth. And that is our situation. Who are we? We are earthen vessels. But thank God we have a treasure in that earthen vessel. But we cause God a problem, because the radiancy of the gospel of our Lord Jesus cannot shine forth. Is shut in within us. So how can that radiance be released? How can Christ be released from each and every one of us? There is only one way. And that is, that vessel has to be broken. If there is a crack, if there is an opening, then the light will automatically come forth. So, dear brothers and sisters, for the life of Christ to be released from each and every one of us, there is one thing needed. You cannot avoid it. You cannot escape it. One thing God must do, and that is He must break that earthen vessel. To put it another way, He must break us. We do not know how strong we are until the process of brokenness begins. And how will He break us? Here in chapter 4, you find He break us through the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Now, you do not find this term in the Bible, but we use this term to express the process that God is doing with each and every one of us. The discipline of the Holy Spirit simply means the Holy Spirit We arrange our circumstances, our daily life, people we encounter, things happen to us, situation rises up, all these circumstances, remember, they are arranged by the Holy Spirit. I won't say that to an unbeliever, but so far as a believer is concerned, nothing in our life is accidental. Why? Because God loves us so much. He cares for us. And His care is so complete. You remember in Matthew 10, He says, even your hair have been numbered. Now, can you imagine that? We do not even know how many hair we have. And when you're combing your hair this morning, how many hairs fall off? But God even knows what numbers of your hair have fallen off. He has numbered every hair on your head. Can you imagine such care? So complete. And the Bible also tells us, even the sparrow, which is very cheap, because a farthing, you can get two sparrows. And two farthings, you can get five sparrows. And the spare sparrow is worthless. And if it's not of the Father's will, it will not fall into the ground. So He cares for the worthless. How much more we are than the sparrows. Now with such care of God, can you believe that He will commit you to anyone else except Himself? The whole idea of discipleship today is wrong, because we are disciples to people, not to Christ. God has committed each and every one of us only to Himself. He Himself will take care of us. And the Holy Spirit is there to do the work. So, dear brothers and sisters, do not think that certain thing happened to you is incidental. It just happened. Nothing like that. The Lord's care is so complete. Everything we happen each day is measured by His love. So the Holy Spirit, with His wisdom, is taking care of every one of us. He will arrange all our environment. Even this morning, when we are here, is arranged by Him. Nothing incidental. And when He arranges all this environment, why? He's using these to break us. Sometimes we feel life is very hard. And sometimes it even surprises us, because we think that having believed in the Lord Jesus, we will have a rosy life to live. Now we are God's children, And he will so take care of us that he will bring us also danger and bring us to heaven. But strangely, you find Christian life is very difficult. It's more difficult than the life of the unbeliever. The unbeliever goes with the world, with the current. There is no resistance. Smooth, but going down to death. But the Christians, with life in them, the life of God in them, is living. We are swimming against the current. And that's the reason why you find Christian life is very difficult. But thank God for all these difficulties. God has arranged them. He measures it by his wisdom. He will not allow us to be tempted more than we can bear. He will always open a way out for us. But through the process, he is breaking the earthen vessel. So here you find this famous word. Every way afflicted, but not straightened. To put it very simply, shut in, but not shut out. Sometimes we feel we are shut in, surrounded. Every way surrounded, afflicted. No way out. But thank God, there is a way upward. We are not shut out yet. Seeming no apparent issue, but our way not entirely shut up. And Phillips translated, say, at our wit's end, but not at our life's end. Yes, our wit is at an end. We don't know what to do, but our life is still there. It is not a life's end. Persecuted, but not abandoned. God has not abandoned us. Cast down, but not destroyed. Knocked down, but not knocked out. Now that is Christian. How many times have we been knocked down? But you are not knocked out. Why? Because there is a resurrection life in you. You will come up even more glorious. So brothers and sisters, you find the Holy Spirit uses all kinds of circumstances that we consider as natural. But actually, they are arranged by the Holy Spirit. The people you are with, the people you meet, the workplace you are, the school you are, the friends, the enemies, all these are arranged by God in order to break us. So the Apostle Paul said, we bury in our body, always burying in our body, the dying of Jesus. Now notice, the word here is dying, not death. Why? Because death is a noun. It tells us something that has already been done. At the death of our Lord Jesus, salvation is completed. He had done all things. He said, it is finished. It is all done. That is death. And what he has done is eternal. What he has done is never temporary. Even though he died 2,000 some years ago, and yet the effect of his death is still fresh and living today. That's death. But dying is verbal now. In other words, it is putting the death of our Lord Jesus into a dying process. It's an application. In other words, the Holy Spirit will apply the dying of Jesus in our life. He will bring all that the death of our Lord Jesus has accomplished and bring it, apply that into us, that we may die daily. Our old man, our flesh, our self, our pride, all these things will die daily by the dying of Jesus. There is a power in the death of Jesus that put to death everything that needs to die. Brothers and sisters, we are supposed to bear the dying of Jesus in our life every day. He is continuing bringing us through the death process to put our flesh, ourselves, our self-life, our pride to death. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. And when this process of dying is going on, remember, this is not negative. For when this dying process is going on in our lives, the life process is also going on. Having the dying of Jesus in our life, then the life of Jesus is increased in our life. And as the life of Jesus increased in our life, then as we serve and minister Christ to others, life will appear in the people whom we serve. So this is the mystery of ministry. How can we minister life to people? If we are ministering ourselves to people, we bring death to them. But thank God, we can bring Christ to people and give lives to people. So this is the secret of New Covenant ministry. Brothers and sisters, if we really realize what this process is for, will we withdraw from it? Should we faint under it? No. We have the boldness to allow the Spirit of God to complete His work. So, New Covenant ministry is not cheap. Just like the grace of God is not cheap. Because the grace of God cost God everything, even His beloved Son. So the ministry of New Covenant ministry, it's not cheap at all. It costs us completely. The more we receive the process of the dying of Jesus, the more will be the life of Jesus being manifested. So the Apostle Paul concludes from verse 16. He said, wherefore we faint not. When you see what God is after, where you see what God is doing in your life, then you will not faint. Because you know, even your outward man is decaying. Your inward man is growing. Now the outward man here speaks of our soul. Our soul is the outward man. And the inward speaks of the spirit. So when our soul is broken, then the spirit is released. So we are not looking at something temporary. We are looking at something eternal. Dear brothers and sisters, now the secret of New Covenant ministry is out. What will be our response? Are we fleeing from the discipline of the Lord? Are we bypassing the cross? That makes us understand what our Lord Jesus said. If anyone wants to follow me, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Brothers and sisters, it is all before us. What do you choose? Do you choose a life living for yourself, ended in death? Or do you choose a life living for Christ and by Christ and bring forth glory and life? In the same way, do you choose an old covenant ministry temporarily bring death, or do you choose a new covenant ministry, even though it is costly, but it is worth it? So may the Lord encourage us that as we all continue in serving the Lord, that our service will gradually be more and more of the new covenant kind instead of the old covenant kind. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thy word is out. Now we trust thy Holy Spirit to work it in each and every one of our hearts, that what thou art expecting will come forth, that there will be plenty of thy life being given and being received. Lord, we want to satisfy thee. Give us grace, we ask in thy name.